Blog Talk Radio.
Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show, coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas, gateway to the Old West and the most haunted city in the country. Well, the musical comedy we call Congress is still rolling ahead. They're having their impeachment inquiry. Now, theoretically, that's to determine what the president did that amounts to a high crime or misdemeanor that is required to have him impeached, which I thought is what Mueller did for 2 years and some $30 million. But Adam Schiff is not happy with the outcome of Mueller's investigation, even though the special prosecutor said, "I can't see any crime." Schiff said, "Oh, it's right there in front of you. You just didn't look hard enough." So he's doing it himself. I mean, when you got the public checkbook and nobody's stopping you, you can go hog wild, which is pretty much what this man has done. Well, you know, this is a strange world in which we live. A lot of very unusual things happen in a lot of very unusual places. We're going to start off tonight with an event in Kolkata, which is the capital of West Bengal in India. Now, I've got a report that on May 7, 2015, a subway motorman pulled the emergency brake between Kolkata's Netaji Bhavan and Rabindra Sadan stations, bringing his train to a halt. He claimed he'd seen a man walking along the tracks just ahead. But he and an entire train crew searched, couldn't find anything. It was decided the entity was a ghost. You see, this area is called the Suicide Paradise because so many people kill themselves in the Rabindra Sadan subway station. And that's just one of the many supposedly haunted spots in this city, which is India's largest city. And the capital, as I said, of West Bengal. According to Sandip Roy, a former resident of Kolkata, haunted houses in India don't have just one ghost. They have entire families. But you got to watch out for the very dangerous Nishi, who call people by name in the dead of night and lead them away, never to be seen again. Now, if you got a story, you want to be involved in the conversation, number to call is 267-521-0159, and we'll get you on the air. Now, one of the most commonly noted spook sites is the Writers Building, which formerly was home of the British East India Company's administrative staff. In December 1933, Indian freedom fighters shot Lieutenant Colonel N.S. Simpson, Inspector General of Prisons, known for torturing prisoners. Now, it's never been said that Simpson himself haunts the old structure, but they do hear the sounds of voices crying out, disrupting the night. And the obsessively neat wife of British colonial administrator Lord Metcalfe is said to roam the halls of the National Library. Been a number of reports of her whispering in readers' ears. Other spots include the South Park Street Cemetery, said to be haunted by the many British soldiers who are buried there, in the Royal Calcutta Turf Club, where a ghostly white mare supposedly gallops around the racecourse at night. Under the Howrah Bridge, a favorite spot for suicides, wrestlers who practice on ghats, the stairs descending to the Hooghly River, have seen hands flailing in the water at night. Like many ancient sites, Kolkata is supposedly home to its share of black magic. The Gauris, members of a tantric Hindu sect whose holy men eat human flesh at cremation grounds, are said to frequent the crematorium at Nimtala Ghat. As the Bengali writer Mukhopadhyay once wrote, "There's no death of darkness in India." And certainly, the many stories I've heard make that eminently clear. Now, there are certain areas that seem to be inimical to man, one of which is the suicide forest located in Japan. Now, there's a sign in Ekogahara Jukai. It says, "Your life is a precious gift from your parents. Please think about your parents, siblings, and children. Don't keep it to yourself. Talk about your troubles." Now, this suicide forest is a 14-square-mile volcanic forest at the northwest base of Mount Fuji in Japan's Yamanashi Prefecture. Jujukara means sea of trees. It's known, as I said, as the suicide forest, the most popular suicide destination in Japan. Every year, they find at least 100 bodies. Now, deep within these quiet woods, you can find tents, clothes, skeletons, and even copies of Lotaro Tsurumi's controversial 1993 bestseller, The Complete Manual of Suicide, which recommends Jukai as a good place to go. Along with two novels that depict romantic suicide pacts in these woods, this book is one reason the forest continues to attract so many lost souls. Not long ago, a park geologist found a doll nailed upside down on a tree, the sign of a curse, he said. Indeed, the area has a reputation of being haunted by yurei, unhappy, angry spirits with white clothes and long black hair. If you ever saw The Ring, think about the ghost girl. Some say their angriest howls are often heard between 2 and 3 in the morning. That's a time when it's a little too late. More ways than one to talk about your troubles. And the way that folks have committed suicide are varied. Now, another strange location is in Angkor Wat, the lost temple. Dedicated to the Hindu god Vishnu, Angkor Wat was built near Siem Reap, Cambodia, in the 12th century. Probably it was a funerary temple for King Suryavarman II. Part of the Angkor Archaeological Park, a 154-square-mile area containing remains from the Khmer Empire that lasted from the 9th to the 15th centuries. Angkor Wat fell into neglect, was mostly unknown to the West until the mid-1800s. An earthly microcosm of the Hindu universe, it's both the world's largest religious monument and its an architectural work of art filled with narrative bas-relief marvels and stunning sculptures, such as the heads that smile so mysteriously they might just make the Mona Lisa look like Kim Kardashian. That's a terrible fate. The temple creates an overwhelming sense of awe and disorientation among its many visitors, so much so that people felt themselves walking in the realm of the spirits and even getting lost there. One tourist said he became separated from a friend during his visit, calling out to her to no avail, only to discover later they were both in the same area. Though she did admit she heard someone distantly shouting her name, they could never figure out why they couldn't see each other. Belief in ghosts and other supernatural creatures is pervasive in Cambodia, particularly among still largely agrarian areas like Siem Reap. The people that live in the city don't believe in ghosts, but in the forest near the temples, it's common to believe. According to a villager who was interviewed by the Phnom Penh Post, the forest is a quiet place, so strange things always happen at night. Locals even create weapon-bearing scarecrows called Ting Mong to scare evil spirits away. One woman said to a journalist, so many ghosts here, you know. He was talking to her after he saw fiery orbs outside his bedroom in a house just outside Siem Reap one night. Their spirits haven't gone to heaven and they're still very angry. Apparently, they're not happy being dead. Now, interestingly enough, there were many stories that the Great Wall of China was built on top of the enemies of the emperor at the time. Well, it turns out that it is haunted. Stretching more than 5,500 miles from near the North Korean border to the Gobi Desert, the Great Wall of China was constructed over more than 2,200 years to protect the country against invasions from northern nomadic tribes. Now, it's not a wall as much as it's a series of fortifications erratically erected by discrete states. The Changqing, or the Long Wall, was completed during the Ming Dynasty. It became the world's largest man-made object. But as with most epic human achievements, building it took a very human toll. Over 400,000 people laboring by hand are said to have died during its construction. At one point, even boys were enlisted to work on the wall. It's reported it made some women fearful giving birth to sons. Now, this is a culture that saw girls as disposable. Only the sons had any importance. With all that suffering and bloodshed, it's no wonder that the fortifications are said to be haunted. Some visitors have claimed they felt uneasy or sick while exploring its paths, though one could presumably chalk that up to the pork dumplings. Certainly that would, have me a little queasy. Others have seen what they said were ghosts of fallen workers, some of whom are known to even punch or kick. According to the locals, fireworks keep the ghost at bay. The structure's most haunted areas include Crouching Tiger Mountain and Carling Dragon Mountain. That's part of the unrestored and rugged sections collectively known as the Wild Wall. Dating from two discrete dynasties, they lie in Gobekli's Yanshan Mountains, about 90 miles from the tourist-packed ramparts of Beijing. Nor let the quiet of these remote, rugged mountains, mostly free from cell phones and tour groups, the presence of the past is, well, you can feel it. As are perhaps the ghosts of the men who sacrificed their lives to build these ancient battlements. You have to ask yourself, what made so many people dedicate their lives to building a wall? Well, another interesting place in China is the famed Forbidden City in Beijing. And sometimes the ghost of those who lived there come back. They were doing the exhibition of concubines' jewelry in the Forbidden City when a disembodied voice was heard to echo, screaming, "It's mine, it's mine." And the greedy ghosts don't need the lure of jade to hunger for what they've lost. After closing, gatekeepers at one of the world's largest palaces supposedly hear music and see ladies-in-waiting wandering the grounds with eunuchs. When one recent tourist asked a guide why the floors are raised under the doors, he was told because ghosts can't jump. That same tourist later posted what he claimed to be the photo of a ghost he'd captured in one of the rooms. And if any structure in the world has a right to be haunted, it's the 9,000-room imperial palace that served 25 Chinese emperors from the Ming Dynasty to the end of the Qing Dynasty, about 1421 to 1911. It's, needless to say, seen more than its share of intrigue and violence, and everyday heartache and greed. Indeed, the palace was created in a cauldron of grief and bloodshed. After his nephew became emperor in the late 14th century, Prince Zhu Di rebelled, assisted by the eunuchs, killing his relatives' loyalists and establishing a new stronghold as the Yongle Emperor in Beijing, where he embarked on the creation of the fabled city. And how about Beijing itself? There are plenty of supposedly haunted spots. Gong Wang Fu Mansion and Lulian Street among them. We so often associate hauntings with decaying old buildings, and Beijing, like the rest of China, is determined to raise reminders of the past in the name of progress. In fact, in 2001, the Forbidden City became home to a Starbucks. I'm not sure if that's good or bad. Well, let's talk about what's called the Death Zone, located at Mount Everest. On June 8, 1924, climbers Andrew Sandy Irvine and George Mallory left their camp not far from the summit of Mount Everest in a final attempt to reach the top. They never returned. Nobody had any idea what happened to him. Though Mallory's well-preserved body was discovered in 1999, Irvine's corpse has never been found. And some say, for this reason, his restless ghost continues to haunt the world's highest mountain. In June of 1933, British climber Frank Smith climbed as high on Everest as anyone had before. After two exhausting nights in the so-called death zone, he became convinced that a pulsating spirit hovered alongside him. In 1975, Dougal Haston and Doug Scott, the first Britons to reach the top of Everest, that is, of course, unless Mallory and Irvine achieved it, and there was nobody to tell, claimed to felt the presence in their snow hole the night before they got to the summit. Scott said the presence, which he also felt on the way down, was helpful, giving him confidence and advice. Another expedition member said he'd been followed, definitely a human figure with arms and legs. If Irvine's ghost does indeed haunt Everest, he may well have company. The mountain is filled with restless spirits of people who have died while climbing it, according to Pemba Dorje, who broke the record for fastest summiting. 8 hours and 10 minutes, if you can believe that. That was in 2004. He said, "I saw some spirits in the form of black shadows coming toward me, stretching their hands and begging for something to eat." Now, all these visions can, of course, be explained as hallucinations induced by hypoxia or thin air, exhaustion, and getting to the limits of human endurance. But the Everest area has always been considered a holy and haunted place in Nepal and Tibet. Himalaya is also said to be home to the legendary abominable snowman, also known as the Yeti. In this country, we call him Sasquatch. Supposed Yeti remains, including a sacred finger in the so-called Pangbuchi hand, are kept in a number of Tibetan Buddhist monasteries. In the wake of the 1922 British Everest expedition, 20 local boys said they encountered seven Yetis at the base of the mountains of North Col while searching for supplies the climbers had left behind. An explorer, Eric Shipton, took pictures of what some believed to be Yeti footprints in the Everest environs in 1951. 1986, in Tibet, Reinhold Messner, the first to climb Mount Everest without bottled oxygen and the first to summit the world's 14 highest peaks, saw a strange creature. He said it towered menacingly, its face a gray shadow, its body a black outline. Covered with hair, it stood upright on two short legs and had powerful arms. And for those that think it had to be a Yeti, he later identified the creature as a rare Tibetan bear. But this mountain hardly needs ghosts and monsters in order to strike fear in the hearts of climbers. One writer said that the scariest stories told about the climbing of Everest are all true. Well, for the next interesting tale, we're going to turn to Okinawa. The ruins of Hotel Takara, also known as the Hotel Royal. This structure, said to have been built without blueprints, it has a sprawling labyrinthine quality to it. The signs posted outside the abandoned Hotel Takara read, "Keep out, don't enter, danger." The Hotel Takara is abandoned. It's near the restored ruins of the 14th century Nakagusuku Castle in Okinawa, Japan. Now, physical danger aside, the hotel, also known as the Royal, has become the kind of haunt that local teenagers used to dare and scare themselves silly. In the process, they've created a campfire story. It's been enshrined as fact, thanks in part to repeated iterations in our modern collective campfire known as the Internet. According to legend, in the mid-1970s, an unnamed businessman from Naha financed the construction of the hotel on the hill with a prime view of Okinawa, hoping to cash in on the crowds coming to the 1975 Okinawa International Ocean Exposition. He hatched plans for the complex that included a water park, a petting zoo, and a nightclub. His only problem, local Buddhist monks warned him the site was sacred. It was also, they said, too close to a number of old tombs in a cave inhabited by restless spirits. But, like most hard-headed businessmen, he paid no attention until a series of freak accidents claimed the lives of some of his workmen. After his remaining employees resigned, too terrified to face the spirits, he moved into his uncompleted project and slowly went insane, ending his days as a gibbering hermit in the empty rooms. Now, certainly, accidents on the site have continued through the years. When a U.S. serviceman stationed in Okinawa was injured in the unfinished hotel in 2009, for example, it was put off limits to Marines, though not because of any curse. The dilapidated condition of the structure alone was enough to explain most mishaps. Well, whether or not the Hotel Takara is haunted or just a real estate gambit gone to pot, the spot is undeniably creepy. Even in the daylight, its rubbish-filled abandoned halls are festooned with graffiti and spider webs, and it's not hard to mistake a tattered curtain for a ghost. Or perhaps that figure in the shadows is the businessman from Naha. Well, one place that said to be inhabited by demons is the city of Babylon. About 60 miles from Baghdad is what's left of the mighty city, the city where Hammurabi and Nebuchadnezzar once ruled. It's now a patch of barren land and plundered treasure. The legendary Hanging Gardens of Babylon, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, are lost to history, of course. But the famed Ishtar Gate was taken by the Germans in the early 20th century, and the Turks used bricks still marked with Nebuchadnezzar's name to build dams on the Euphrates River. In 1985, Saddam Hussein began remaking the site in his own image. American invasion put an end to that in 2003, but the troops brought their own depredations, building a helicopter landing pad over ruins and crushing ancient pavement under heavy vehicles. Wasn't long before graffiti marked the site, and priceless cuneiform tablets started showing up on eBay. Ancient Babylonians believed the destruction of sacred idols meant their divinities had abandoned the evil forces, and it's not hard to imagine that this ravaged wasteland is haunted by the likes of their Ikimu, the restless spirits of souls who weren't properly buried, Utuku, demons who haunt abandoned places, and Alu, faceless creatures who crush sleeping humans. And let's not forget the Pazuzu, the possessing spirit and the exorcist. That was a Babylonian demonic god. Jinn, supernatural creatures of Arabic mythology, may also linger here since they're known to haunt ruins, and this isn't just an ancient superstition. In November 2014, the residents of Kut, a city about 90 miles from the Babylonian ruins, became convinced that Jinn were burning their houses. If you want to read in the Bible about Babylon, go to Revelation chapter 18, verse 2. It said, Babylon the Great is fallen and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit. It would seem that that prophecy has come to pass. Well, let's go to Uluru, the curse of the rock. Every day, rangers in Uluru Kata Tahuta National Park in Australia's Northern Territory get rocks in the mail. The Australian government refers to them as sorry rocks. Ranging from small chips to 70-pound boulders, the stones are sent from all over the world by tourists who've stolen them from Uluru, also known as Ayers Rock, the park centerpiece, and returned to them because they were cursed. Many of the packages contain apologies, but about a quarter list of tragedies the writers say followed the thefts. One British tourist wrote, things were good in my life before I took some of the Ayers Rock home with me. But since then, my wife's had a stroke. Things have worked out terribly for my children. There'd been nothing but bad luck. Others described breakups, illnesses, and even deaths. One park manager wrote, that's just a weird phenomenon. We stack them up in boxes, and every now and then we try and return them to the mountains so that the people's bad luck is dissolved. Well, formed hundreds of millions of years ago, Uluru and its environs have been home to the Aboriginal and Anangu people for some 10,000 years. The 1,150-foot sandstone monolith is literally haunted. Is a literally haunted place for the Anangu, animalistically inhabited by hundreds of ancestral beings. It's also, they say, honeycombed with hidden sacred song lines, past that reflect the creation of the world and are literally reflected in song. They call their sacred sites my grandmother and my grandfather. So climbing this rock for them is a sacrilegious act of desecration, if not the beginning of a curse. one Aborigine said you shouldn't climb. It's not the real thing about this place. The real thing is listening to everything. To preserve the sacred landform and prevent further environmental damage, climbing the rock's been banned effective October 26, 2019. Meanwhile, rangers will likely continue to receive sorry rocks returned by past climbers whom the curse has followed home. And there's been no evidence the atonement works, though. No one has ever written and said, since I returned to rock, we won the lotto or anything like that. Still, the rocks continue to come. Well, let's turn to the continent where history and legend often intersect, and that's Europe. Now, weeping and roaring sounds mingle with the appearance of figures moving through the ancient stones of Rome's Colosseum. Some resident ghosts are said to sit in the decaying stands while Roman soldiers watch over a long-vanished spectacle. And there's been enough death and destruction in the Colosseum to last for generations to come. Then in France, we have the notoriously haunted catacombs of Paris. Now, July 14, 1931 is Paris celebrated Bastille Day. Princess Anna Obolensky de Bratskoy fell almost 1,000 feet from the third platform of the Eiffel Tower. She'd recently gotten married and seemed in good spirits, so it was assumed it was an accident. But letters later found in her purse proved that she'd killed herself. One of hundreds of people who've jumped from the Iron Lady since it was built in 1889. Princess is now said to be among the many souls that haunt France's national symbol. Well, no matter where you look, the City of Lights actually has a dark side. From spirits in the Louvre, which some have called the city's most haunted building, to the catacombs and even nearby Versailles. Now, the orbs and the electroplasmic shades sometimes seen in the museum's medieval section are not, in fact, art installations, but many believe the spirits of people were once imprisoned there. One particularly well-known entity is the Little Red Ghost, reportedly seen by the likes of Catherine de' Medici and Napoleon. Well, there's plenty of spooky places that figure in the great works of French literature. Notre Dame Cathedral is known for its hunchback. The opera has its phantom. But in real life, these structures are reportedly haunted by Notre Dame robed figures with tall pointed hats and the ghost of a suicidal woman who roams the streets outside searching for the man who jilted her. Though the famously practical Parisian see Pierre Lachaise in all its Gothic splendor is nothing more or less than a cemetery, it's said to be haunted by Oscar Wilde, Marcel Proust, Jim Morrison, and a number of other, lesser mortals. Well, people are strange. Definitely strange. And they have religious beliefs that absolutely boggle the mind. Let's talk about the doorway to hell. St. Patrick's Purgatory. Pilgrims pray at dawn and fast for 3 days at the holy site of St. Patrick's Purgatory on Station Island in Luke Durg, County Donegal, Ireland. And no one is allowed to wear shoes on the island. It's the things that people do in the name of religion. Now, since the Middle Ages, Catholic pilgrims have traveled to Station Island in the middle of Loch Derg in County Donegal. And as I said, they spend 3 days fasting and praying at the site where, according to legend, Christ showed St. Patrick a cave leading straight to purgatory. Now, the opening is supposedly covered by a monastery, so if the dead ever decide to walk the earth, they probably won't start here. But the island is only one of many places where a gateway to the underworld supposedly exists. In 2013, archaeologists unearthed Pluto's Gate, which the people of the Phrygian city of Hierapolis in present-day southwest Turkey believed to be an entrance to the netherworld. Spaces full of a vapor so misty and dense one can scarcely see the ground, according to one Greek geographer. And any animal that passes inside meets immediate death. In the early 1970s, the Derweze crater, a fiery desert sinkhole, opened in Turkmenistan. You know, it's known locally as the door to hell. Its hellish aspect has more to do with natural gas deposits and demons. Created when the ground gave way under a Soviet drilling rig that made their day. Other supposedly infernal entrances include Iceland's Mount Hekla volcano, Husker Castle north of Prague, the Bloody Hell Pond in Beppu City, Japan, and Lake Avernus near Naples, Italy, which the Romans considered the entrance to Hades. If you read Virgil's Aeneid, that's how it's referred. Some otherworldly openings are a lot closer to home. There are supposedly seven gates to hell in the woods of York County, Pennsylvania. Anyone who passes through all of them goes straight to, hell, I guess. Locals insist no one who made it past five gates has ever returned. In a dilapidated cemetery of Tiny Stowe, Kansas, lore has it that the hidden steps descend to the gates of hell. The voodoo tradition holds that seven portals to hell exist throughout New Orleans. Then there are the hells that exist in name only. Hell, California. Hell, Michigan. Hell, Grand Cayman. But if you find yourself in hell, Norway, that's not so bad. In Norway, the word hell simply means luck. Now, there have been many stories about possible entrances to the underworld. During World War II, the Nazis found it was in Eastern Europe. They found what was supposed to be the entrance to the inner world. An SS regiment, some of the more fanatical of Hitler's followers, were sent on the mission of exploring that area. Now, in those days, a regiment could number anywhere from 200 to 800 soldiers, and they were heavily armed. They went in and never came out. Be interesting to know what happened to them. But I would have to say, wandering around an island barefoot takes a certain dedication. Now, if you got any comment to make, you want to be involved in a discussion, 267-521-0159. This next story deals with Bran Castle, also known as Dracula's Lair. Though Transylvania's Bran Castle has long been known as Dracula's Castle, the real home of the man who inspired the bloodthirsty count is actually in Wallachia, Romania. Now a ruin, that castle once belonged to 15th century prince Vlad Tepes, also known as Vlad the Impaler, Vlad III, Dracula, also known as for such atrocities as impaling his enemies on spears and let their own weight dispose of them. Now, Dracula actually means son of the dragon, and there is still a dragon court in Eastern Europe. Completed in 1388 on a cliff between Magura and Delu Citati, Bran Castle is the only structure in Transylvania that matches the description of Dracula's domain in Bram Stoker's classic 1897 novel. But Stoker never visited Romania, and his book was based on 19th century books that depicted the country as a backwater filled with superstitious peasants. In his novel, he called Transylvania this cursed land where the devil and his children still walk with earthly feet. And that kind of off-color impression continues more or less to this day. The mist-covered mountains are real, according to a 1994 Life article. The crumbling castles are real. The howling wolves, the swooping bats, the peasants making the sign of the cross. All that was real as of 1994. But many Romanians resent the characterization of their country as a doom-haunted land of mystery and superstition. Trent Lanenbach, a Brigham Young University student from Transylvania, said, "I hardly heard anything about vampires, werewolves, any of that." He spent time researching folk tales in Romania. Romanians are aware that it's something they're known for, but they don't seem to be extremely interested in that side of folklore. But many older Transylvanians continue to believe in the existence of ghosts and vampires and werewolves and witches and forest ghosts. The Strigoi, humans whose souls leave their body at night to wreak havoc among the living. The legends are rapidly dying out, though, which is partly why Britain's Prince Charles, a descendant, believe it or not, of Vlad the Impaler, has established a foundation to preserve Romanian heritage. "I do have a bit of stake in the country," he said. "Transylvania's in my blood. I wonder if he walks the moors and bites people." Nothing about Prince Charles would surprise me. In fact, if not for my family getting its butt kicked out of England, I'd probably be perhaps in line for the throne. I was descended from one of the kings. You know, I had a guest on my show whose great aunt was born in a gypsy caravan that one of those that crossed Eastern Europe. And she said whenever they came on the land of any of the Strigoi, which was the name she gave to the Romanian and Transylvanian nobility, they required one member of the family to be turned over to them, kind of like, I guess, as a hostage for the time that they would be on the property. And according to her great aunt, they would actually take blood from her. And she said, right up until the day her aunt died, and as far as she was able to determine, her aunt was in her early 90s at the time of her death. She looked like she was in her 50s. So maybe being a hostage wasn't such a bad thing for her. One day I'll find that interview and replay it. It was absolutely fascinating. Well, let's talk about England's most haunted house, Borley Rectory. Now, built in 1863 in Essex, England, it was built over the remains of a Benedictine monastery. According to local legend, that was where a monk and a nun were murdered after falling in love and trying to elope. Their coachman was strung up as well. The house's first residents and locals claimed to see the nun's ghost walking on a path that became known as the Nun's Walk. Among other phenomena, a ghostly figure is always seen looking through a window. Luckily, that window's barred. But none of this became widely known until the 1920s when a new rector, the Reverend Guy Eric Smith, began to witness the spectral events and became distressed. So he reached out to controversial psychic researcher Henry Price. But when Price arrived to investigate what was going on, all hell literally broke loose, leading him to call Borley the most haunted house in England. Keys flew from locks. Pebbles and coins rained from nowhere. Soon after, the Smiths fled the house when publicity made Borley arguably the first mass media covered haunting, similar to the Avenue Vohara. In 1930, a new rector moved in, but left in 35 after the supposed spirits became particularly attached to his wife, Mary Ann. They wrote messages on the walls. One of them said, "Mary Ann, please help get and please for help and prayers." After Price took up residence in 1937, intending to conduct further experiments, a message in a seance predicted that the rectory would be destroyed in a fire. And nearly a year later, a fire gutted Borley Rectory. 1944, the building's remains were demolished. A life photographer visited and shot the site, and one of his images captured what appeared to be a brick levitating in a doorway. Price called it Borley's last phenomenon. Except that wasn't the end of it. The haunting continued in nearby Borley Church. Over the years, many people came forward either denying the events or alleging fraud. But at least one observer, occult expert Alec Howell, was convinced the haunting was legitimate. He wrote, "Suppose for a moment Price was quite aware he was setting the stage for a colossal host. If he had that sort of thing in mind, he never gave the game away. His acting must have been consummate, but no one really believed he was acting. He appeared to firmly believe the truth of what he saw." And there are many stories about Borley Rectory that far more than we would have time to discuss here. Well, in the Czech Republic, we have Phantasmo Prague. In the mystical novel The Golem, Gustav Meyrink spoke about early 20th century Prague. He said it felt as if the houses were staring down at me with malicious expressions full of nameless spite. The doors were black, gaping mouths in which tongues had rotted away. Now, the Golem is sort of a biblical Frankenstein's monster. It's a mythical creature referred to in the Bible and the Talmud and supposedly fashioned from clay by wise men. One of its creators was Rabbi Judah Loew ben Bezalel during the reign of Rudolf II in the late 16th century. The rabbi's aim was to protect Prague's Jewish quarter from pogroms and anti-Semitism. And given the events of subsequent centuries, he wasn't entirely successful. Maybe that's why the Golem is never seen on the streets of this Bohemian city. But plenty of other supernatural beings are seen. If Prague isn't the most haunted metropolis in Europe, it certainly offers one of the widest varieties of otherworldly entities. You'll find not just the ghost of the headless Templar and the benevolent spirit in the convent of St. Agnes, but a reignited pagan fire on the Petrin Hill, a goblin that lives under the Charles Bridge, and a skeleton that begs drunks for money. Prague may be one of the few cities with a monument to a ghost. A statue of a man named Jakub Burka stands on Fladerska Street in the city's old town. According to his story, returning from a war, he believed a false rumor his fiancée had been unfaithful to him. Furious, he married another woman, and when his fiancée found out, she drowned herself. A distraught Burka then killed his wife and hung himself. Well, now his wandering spirit gets a shot at salvation only once every 100 years. If he can find a virgin, according to the story, and talk to her for an hour, he'll end his ghostly servitude. Well, knowing how things are this day and time, yeah, I think he's doomed to servitude for a while longer. Sadly, he seemed to have missed his chance in 2009, but maybe in 2109 he can find a virgin to talk to. Now, there are many legends that have come down to us, many stories of the strange and the unusual. This next location, I've heard many stories about. I'm talking about the Tower of London in London, England. According to one story, Tower of London night watchman Arthur Crick stopped along his nightly rounds to rest his feet. And he heard a a disembodied voice. It said, there's only you and I here. And Cricket's supposed to have responded, let me get my shoes on and it'll only be you. Well, guards aren't the only ones who say they've experienced supernatural phenomena in England's fearsome ancient fortress on the River Thames. Started by William the Conqueror in 1066, this complex of towers, now home to everything from the crown jewels to an axe supposedly used in the last public beheading on Tower Hill, is widely considered the most haunted building in England. And there's a good reason for that. Throughout its notorious history, this site's been seen more than its share of bloodshed and misery. Supposedly home to the ghost of Henry VI, who was possibly praying here when he was stabbed to death. Allegedly in the presence of Richard Plantagenet, the Duke of Gloucester in 1471. Unhappy Henry is now said to haunt the Wakefield Tower, where tortures often took place. But the most storied part of the complex is not surprisingly the oldest. The White Tower is where the ghost known as the White Lady wanders. Perfume often smelled at the entrance to the Chapel of St. John's. Edlitz's ghost, said to be that of Anne Boleyn, is sometimes seen near the Queen's house, close to where she was executed on Tower Green. And the nine-day Queen, Lady Jane Grace, is reportedly spotted by guards on February 12, 1957. That year was the 403rd anniversary of her death by execution. Her crime? She could not give a male heir to the king. Saddest of all of the race of Edward IV's young sons, Edward V and Richard. 1483, they were sent to the tower after being declared illegitimate by their uncle, Richard, the Duke of Gloucester again, who may also have had him murdered, and he went on to become King Richard III. The skeletons of two young boys were discovered beneath the staircase in 1674, but the brothers' spirits continued to be seen in their white nightgowns, clutching each other in terror. Well, certainly, the head that wears the crown cannot rest easy. I've heard that for many, many years. You know, in Moscow, they refer to the Bloody Kremlin. Not the use of the word bloody that the English use, but they literally meant soaked in blood. August 30th, 1918, Vladimir Lenin was speaking at a Moscow factory named Hammer and Sickle. Afterwards, as the founder of the Communist Party and the first head of the Soviet state left the building, revolutionary Fanya Kaplan called out to him and fired three shots. One hit him in the shoulder, the other hit him in the neck. At least that's the official Soviet version. Though the fired leader survived and never fully recovered, the injuries he sustained may have led to the series of strokes that ultimately killed him. He was for years afterwards unable to walk without a cane, which is why in 1923 witnesses, according to legend, thought it strange to see him moving quickly and unaided through the building's halls. Even stranger, the physical Lenin was away from the complex at the time. Was this a bad omen? Maybe. Months after this sighting, in January 1924, Lenin died. And though his embalmed body is now creepily entombed in Red Square in front of the Kremlin wall, surrounded by 240 victims of his October Revolution, his ghost prowls the fortress where he has plenty of company. Ivan the Terrible, who died of a stroke while playing chess, is sometimes seen in the Ivan the Great Bell Tower. The ghost of Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin, who also died of a stroke as he slipped into paranoid old age, brings with him a blast of cold air. The spirit of Kaplan herself, who was executed soon after the assassination attempt, is said to haunt the Skaya Bell Tower, a pale, disheveled woman holding a gun. Like any other city steeped in history and mystery, Moscow proper has its share of ghosts. It has sites supposedly haunted by the likes of a spectral cat on the Vyskaya Street, a ghostly carriage on Kuznetsky Most, and an old man on Myasnitskaya Street. There's even a notorious thoroughfare from Lyubotsky to Lakrikino Streets That's the site of so many mysterious accidents called Death Road. And whether or not any of these events and apparitions are real in the real world is really beside the point. According to Anton Chekhov, man is what he believes. If you believe in ghosts, you'll meet the ghost. Well, let's go to Rome. All roads lead to Rome, it said. Now, the Via Crucis procession on Good Friday is a time of strange happenings. The Colosseum is said to be haunted by the ghost of gladiators and the ghost of thousands of dead monks created an unusual form of interior decoration at the Capuchin crypt under the Church of Santa Maria della Concezione. Titus Livius was an ancient historian. And in one of his 142 books on the city of Rome, he said a violent thunderstorm suddenly arose and enveloped the king in so dense a cloud he was quite invisible. He was talking about Romulus, the mythical founder of Rome. And from that hour, Romulus was no longer seen on the earth. He had vanished. This fabled disappearance occurred in what was then the Campus Martius, Field of Mars, one remnant of which remains, the Pantheon, the monument built by an Emperor Hadrian to honor the pagan gods. That structure is now said to be haunted by ancient priests. The eerie blue light can be seen in its interior. Other supposedly haunted sites in the Eternal City include the Colosseum, the Capuchin Crypt, the Church of Santa Maria del Popolo, said to be haunted by Emperor Nero, who might have been buried on that spot. According to legend, so many people saw the mad emperor here that in 1099, Pope Pascal II was petitioned to exorcise his ghost that ultimately led to the building of a church. Well, skeptical? So was Titus Livius, who, after relating Romulus' celestial disappearance, wrote that humans want to believe in this sort of phenomena. It's marvelous, he wrote, how the army was soothed by the belief that had been created in Romulus' immortality. Nothing was said about what happened to his twin, Remus. Well, we've come to the end of another show. These hours just go by so quickly. We'll be back tomorrow night, and we'll have more stories of the strange and the unusual. Till then, this is Ken Hudnall for the Ken Hudnall Show, saying have a truly great evening.